Welcome to the Lost Geek Podcast, episode 39, The Essentials. This is Arlyn, your host. Come and get lost in my geeky fiber adventures with a dash of Indonesian flavor. Today is Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014, and I am podcasting from my home in Jakarta, Indonesia. Can you believe it's December already? And that's why I titled this episode The Essential Month, because you'll find out later why I think it's an essential month. Today's segments will include On the Needles, a new segment that I am tentatively titling Essential Oils because I cannot think of anything else, in which I will be talking about my new obsession in essential oils and my adventures in it, and Tadaima. It's not going to be a short episode, although there are only three segments. So before we start, I'd like to say thank you and hi to new members of the group and to new listeners. This past 3 weeks, I heard from a listener in Switzerland, Helga from Valais, Switzerland. Her Ravelry username is Helga und Mikhail. I believe that's how you pronounce it. So welcome, Helga, to the group, and it's nice to know that you have been enjoying the Europe logbook that I posted in my podcast, my last podcast. I also want to say a big congratulations to our group moderator, Crooked Knits, our staff, for her engagement. And I want to wish you luck in the wedding preparation and also in the preparation for the journey that awaits the two of you. Big congrats to Steph, and if you have time, do send her a PM on Ravelry or pop up in the group and send her a big hearty congratulations. There has been no new reviews on iTunes, and I know I haven't been podcasting that very regularly the past few months, but if you have been enjoying the podcast or the blog, I would really appreciate it if you can stop by on iTunes and give me a star rating or a review. Any critique or input or advice and suggestions are welcome so that I can keep on improving the show, and let me know what you would like to hear the most in the show. So without further ado, let's get lost. On the Needles. My first project on the needles is the Ginkgo Shoulderette Shawl, and I bet a lot of you will notice that today I don't have off the needle segment, and that's because I'm back to my regular routine and that leaves very little amount of knitting time. But I have been working very diligently on a lot of new projects. The Ginkgo Shoulderette Shawl is the one that I am knitting with a silk and cotton blend yarn from Pierrot Yarns. It's a Japanese brand, and it's a very light fingering, almost lace weight yarn. It's in a cone, so it is kind of hard for me to measure the weight that I have left of the yarn that I have left. I originally wanted to knit this shawl so that I make full use of the yarn I have, so that I won't have any leftovers. So I lengthened the body as per the shawl instruction option for lengthening the stockinette part. By the way, this is a triangular shape shawl with stockinette body and a lace edging. But even after lengthening the body, I think I will still be left with a significant amount of yarn. I am about 4 or 5 rows from the bind off, and I still have quite a chunk of it on the cone. So I don't know, do you have any pattern ideas for something in a light fingering cotton silk yarn that I can knit to match with the shawl, with a triangular shawl, maybe a pyramids? Because if I don't plan a project for the leftover yarn, as Paula from Knitting Pipeline mentioned in one of her older episodes, it would just get pushed back. It would languish in my stash box and just waiting there for its, I don't know, for whatever fate it's waiting for. I guess it's because the novel experience of knitting with this specific yarn and colorway has faded once I bound off a project. If I don't immediately cast on another project with it, the yarn would just sit there meekly, pitifully, without any project planned for it. So I don't know, maybe a pair of fingerless mitts? I'm planning to gift this shawl for a good friend, a very best friend of mine. She was actually one of my bridesmaids during our wedding. And her birthday was in October, so this is a very belated birthday present. And her favorite color is lavender. This yarn is in dark purple, so it's not exactly lavender, but I hope that she can use it. And she has just recently found out that she is pregnant, and I am now allowed to share the news with you. So I hope that she can maybe use it for her baby as well. So let me know if you have pattern ideas for, I don't know, maybe 200 yards of light fingering weight yarn, 200 or 300 yards. I'm eyeballing it. And okay, the second project I have on the needles is the Hitofude cardigan. In the last episode, I mentioned that I am alternating two different skeins from two different dyers. And yes, I have knitted about 6 repeats of the lace pattern and cannot tell the difference. So I'm glad that I am alternating the skeins and that my eye was not wrong in judging that the two skeins colorway are pretty similar to each other. I am still enjoying knitting the lace, and I've decided to knit the small size instead of the extra small because my size falls right in between the two sizes. And since this is a swingy cardigan but with a fitted sleeves, I would want to wear it over a t-shirt or something, and I want to make sure that it would fit well over the clothes and not too snug. So I decided to knit the small size, but I went down a needle size to size US 3 from US 4 so that my gauge is not too big and I would have something that falls in between. I did knit a gauge swatch and get a little bit bigger, maybe half a stitch larger than what the prescribed gauge is from the pattern. So I started the project with the prescribed needle, but then I decided to go down a needle size, and I think I like the look okay too. I am eyeballing it, so I hope that it won't bite me in the ass when I finish the cardigan. The third project that I am knitting is the Salah Cowl by Bristol Ivy. It's a free pattern from Knitty 2010, I believe. And this is my first project, first pattern by Bristol Ivy. And I really like how unique this is. The yarn I'm using is the Lorna's Laces Shepherd Sock in Team Spirit colorway number 2 from the Loopy U. It's part of the Loopy Academy, and if you haven't heard of the Loopy Academy, it's a knitting program by the Loopy U, and I will put up a link in the show notes to that. The yarn is very variegated, and I mentioned in the last podcast that I was planning to knit the Hanwha Cowl by Martine from the I Make podcast, but then I kept thinking that this yarn would not really show lace pattern very well because of the variegation. So I went on Ravelry and searched for a slip stitch pattern because I know that slip stitch pattern will break up the variegation very nicely. And somehow I forgot how I stumbled upon this pattern. It's very unique in the sense that you knit it flat, but you use two different size needles for each right side and wrong side row. So for the right side row, you use a small needle. I am using size US 4 or 3.5 millimeter. And the wrong side row is using a bigger size needle. And I'm using US 9 or 5.5 millimeter. The pattern calls for US 5 and US 10, but I went down one needle size or half a millimeter on the smaller needle and a quarter of a millimeter on the smaller needle and half millimeter on the bigger needle. And this project is perfect if you have interchangeable needles because you don't have to use two different sets of needles. You just have two different ends on one cable needle. So far, I am liking how novel this is, and it breaks the color very nicely. I don't have any pulling. And the pattern is very simple in that it's mainly just twisted ribbing with knit one through the back loop and purl, and it's divided into three sections. One is in the increase, the next one is the body, and then the last is the decrease. And then you seam the sides together and finish it with an I-cord edge. So it is shaped like a parallelogram, and I love the unique size shaping and the two different needle size, as I mentioned. The designer notes on Bristol Ivy's blog is also very helpful, especially if you're making it in a different size. It's very easily customizable. I will put up the link to the blog post that I mentioned on the show notes. There is also a helpful note by Chroma Kate. She simplified the instructions so that it's easy to memorize and I don't have to keep referring back to the nitty pattern. I try to always look for helpful notes on existing projects before I start a new pattern. And it is usually very helpful because people have been modifying or mentioning what had helped them or what they would do differently if they knit a pattern next time. And how you use that, how you do that is if you go to a pattern page on Ravelry, there is a tab at the top where it says X number of projects, and you go to that tab, you click that tab, and when you go to the projects page, there is an option to filter these projects. And I usually filter these projects by all helpful projects, and then you can see projects that have been tagged as helpful by other Ravelry users, and just check those projects out for certain notes or pictures maybe that have helped them. And Ravelry has this new feature where you can highlight a certain text on the note of that project page to indicate that that was part of the text that has helped you. Following the designer notes, I have been diligently measuring the remaining amount of yarn I have on my yarn ball to determine the size that I can go. But right now it's looking like I can make the cowl a bit bigger in diameter. I actually originally wanted the cowl to be snug on my neck, not too tall, but tall enough so that I can pull it up to cover my up to my mouth and my nose when it's really cold. But I want it to be snug. Now it seems like I've reached the right width, the right height for the cowl, but I am debating whether or not to make it snug or a little bit wider. If I want to use the yarn to its utmost, I would be left with a wider cowl. And I'm not sure if that's what I want to do, to have another leftover yarns. So, I don't know, we'll see. That's the third project that I have been actively working on. Those three have just the perfect amount of variety to keep me interested. The Hitofude and the Salah cowl are both very instinctively, so I don't have to keep referring back to the pattern, so I can just grab the project and knit on it. But the Hitofude is not very transportable because I'm using two different skeins, and the way I manage the yarn is I put them on two separate bags, so then when I need to switch sides to my right and to my left, I have to sit down, and it's not very easy to do that in a car or when commuting. So my travel project is the Salah cowl, and when I want to knit something more complicated, a little bit more complicated, I would pick up the Ginkgo shoulderette shawl. So it's a perfect variety for me. In another news, I have received my November yarn box shipment. This is my second one, and I am super excited about the yarns. I'm a member of the Yarn Box group, and it's a very active group. And Hannah Bell, one of the moderators and also one of the staff in the Yarn Box company, she puts up sneak peeks, and there is a sneak peek guessing game, which is always very crowded and very fun with really random clues that she put up. So we would guess what yarn we would get for each month. And every time, it's very hard to guess. I have been very pleased with my first yarn box shipment, which was the neighborhood company Rustic Fingering Yarn. And this time we got a very unique yarn. So Yarn Box's very strong point is that they send out yarns that I haven't tried before or with something with a unique composition. And this time it is New Zealand-based Outlaw Yarns Bohemia Sport. It is very newly released, so Yarn Box subscribers are one of the first few people to try the yarn. It's a unique blend of 45% Polworth fiber, 45% alpaca fiber, and 10% possum fiber. So possum is not a possum. Possum in New Zealand, possum is a pest that was not native to the land. And the fur is very, very soft and warm, like alpaca. So this would be my first time knitting with this kind of blend, and I'm so excited. I received the color Morris, which is a bright saturated blue. The blue reminds me of images of castles and royalties, of royal draperies fit for kings and queens. It is bright and vivid, but with a dignity that makes it ungarish, despite it being bright. The yarn is plied not very tightly. It's a bit loose, allowing full bloom for the fiber because alpaca and possum are both very warm. The lofty structure of the yarn would trap air between them and allows the warmth to be fully utilized. The shipment comes, every yarn box shipment comes with two sets of pattern. One is a knitting pattern and the other is a crochet pattern. This time it comes with a set of fingerless mitts and beret pattern. The beret has a knitted bow on it, which is very nice. The designer is Rhiannon McCulloch, and the set pattern is called So Boho. I will put up a link in the show notes. It is currently exclusive to subscribers only, but will be available for the public in approximately 1 month. With 5 skeins of the yarn, I'm totaling 910 yards. I can also knit a garment out of it, so I am still debating whether or not I will knit the accessory set or a garment. As always, when I'm excited about a new yarn, I would look for patterns on Ravelry so I can match the yarn with a pattern. And I found this Mothed pattern. It's a sweater. It's a free pattern on Ravelry, on Knitty, Deep Fall 2010. The designer is Meg Candice. I will put up a link to both the pattern, the designer, and to Knitty on the show notes. So let me know what you would knit with such a unique fiber, whether it will be a very luxurious set of beret and hand warmers, or will it be a garment. Now that I've received my November box, I am looking forward to my December box. If you are not familiar with Yarn Box, I will put up a link to them in my show notes. They also have two other different clubs. My subscription is for Yarn Box Classic, in which you can choose to subscribe to a monthly shipment or bi-monthly. And the two other options are Yarn Box Socks and Yarn Box Lux. The Lux is a quarterly shipment, so it comes to you every 3 months. It's more expensive, and it gives you a chance to sample luxury yarns that you might not try for the price tag, but it is more affordable because you buy it from Yarn Box. And the Yarn Box Socks is very affordable, very economical if you are a sock knitter. And so you should check that out. Let's move on to Get Your Geek On. So it's already December. We come to the end of 2014, and I hope the year has been good for you and your family. December comes from the Latin word decem, meaning 10, because December used to be the 10th month in the Roman calendar year, which began in March. What's interesting is that The winter days following December, so January and February, were not included as part of any month. So it's like a barren desert. Later, the months of January and February were created out of the monthless period and added to the beginning of the calendar, but December retained its name. March is the beginning of the year, and this is the interesting part, is the resumption of war. I found this all from the internet, and I will put up a link if you want to know more about that. So since it's in the Roman period, there are a lot of wars, I guess. In the winter months, they all decided to have a truce and stop all warring efforts and resume it in March. Wikipedia has a very confusing tidbit about days of the month in a year, and I'm going to read you a particularly confusing sentence, and this is just one sentence, just one period for the whole thing. Let me read it. In common years, April and July of the previous year start on the same day of the week as December of the current year as a common year, and October of the previous year always starts on the same day of the week as December of the current year as a leap year, while January of the previous year starts on the same day of the week as December of the current year as a leap year, and a year immediately after that. Whew. And yes, that is just one sentence. I can't even make a sense out of that. I don't know how you can simplify that, though. So, yeah, it's interesting how to parse a sentence to make it easier for people to understand. Anyways, I also want to say a belated Happy Thanksgiving to all my friends and family in the States. If you are celebrating, Happy Thanksgiving! And since there is no trace at all of Thanksgiving celebrations here, I decided to make December this month my personal Thanksgiving month, also because I think Thanksgiving in the month of December is in line with the spirit of Christmas. Advent weeks has started last week, and our pastor reminded us just 2 days ago that the most important thing is to keep the spirit and the heart of Christmas. We need to remember the spirit of giving and the ultimate love and live it in our daily lives. We are not to be overwhelmed or misfocus our attention to all the Christmas festivities, Christmas presents, Christmas decorations, Christmas sales, and busyness that comes every year, and whether in your personal or work life, because end of year is always the end of accounting period and it's always the busiest time of year. Anyway, Happy Thanksgiving again, and I hope in the month of December you do take time to be thankful and to extend the spirit of Thanksgiving in November if you are celebrating it in the States to the end of the year, and remember that despite all the hustle and bustle and the hecticness of Christmas, that there are a lot to be thankful for in this world, and just take a moment to reflect on it and to be thankful for your loved ones, for family and friends, for yarn, and for knitting to occupy your hands. So I hope this year will end in a good note for you, as it will end in a good note for me. Into the Blue. There is a chat in the chatter thread about knitting in warmer climate, and Marie Lynn, whom I met a few months ago, she is a knitter from Malang in East Java, where she lives now with her husband. And she commented how she barely had knit a stitch in the 15 months that she's been living in Indonesia. So I mentioned about how I'm not really knitting with cotton, even though it's appropriate for the climate here, mainly because first, I learned knitting while I was in the States, where the general knitting crowd knits with, you know, animal fiber, like wool, alpaca, and in heavier weights, DK or above, usually worsted. And plant fibers, like cotton or linen, I get exposed to mostly when I came back to Indonesia, because most of the knitting crowds here would knit with plant fibers and lighter weight yarns, fingering usually, or lace. And I find that I don't really like knitting with cotton because of the crisp and harder hand. And if not processed well, it can be very stiff. I experienced this firsthand when I took part in knitting a scarf to break the local Indonesian record of, I think, 2 years back. And oh my goodness, there hasn't been a day that could surpass the unpleasantness of knitting with that cotton yarn. It's a local cotton. I don't think it's made for knitting. So yeah, I have knit with really good cotton, and cotton is good in a blend, whether with wool or acrylic or silk, it's very nice. So you just have to experiment with what you like. And one more note about cotton is I don't really like mercerized cotton. Mercerized cotton is the shinier cotton, and it's been processed to be smooth and shiny. But I find that it's not very forgiving, and any mistake would show in the final product, and the stitches don't blend together. Whereas if you knit with wool, the stitches would blend together, and when knitting it, the hand is very supple and cushy and just plush. I like knitting with wool, you can tell. So I knit with wool, and I would mostly gift my knitting to friends or families who can use them more than I do, because I tend to be a hot person. I don't wear cardigans or shawls that much, only for a fashion statement while in Indonesia. But I have friends and families who live elsewhere where they would need hand-knitted stuff. I especially love giving my hand-knit stuff to my cousin Indira, who is currently going to college in Germany, and she's been very appreciative, and she's wearing the heck out of the knitted stuff that I gave her. So I love her as a knit recipient. So anyway, if you're in a warm climate, other fiber choices are linen or silk or bamboo. But remember that all plant fibers tend to be limp, and so they are very good for items that need drape, like lace, or cardigans that don't need a lot of structure. And do expect them to stretch after they block. So remember, if you knit a garment where size is important, to always, always wash and block your swatch first before you proceed to knit the whole garment if you are knitting with a plant fiber, because you will get a nasty surprise in the end if you don't wash and block your swatch first. So let's go to the next segment, and it's the new segment. I am tentatively titling it Essential Oils because I can't think of any other quirky sounding name. I am open for suggestion. So as I mentioned a few episodes ago, I am getting into the world of essential oils, and I have been sucked in hard. I have a huge collection of oils now, and I'm experimenting with them for various purposes. Mostly for health, to keep my son Timothy, because he has allergy and asthma, inherited it from me, both me and my family, unfortunately, and also for me and my husband. Basically, I'm trying to replace my medicine cabinet with EOs, essential oils, as much as I can. I found out, though, that there are so many things to learn when I really delved into EOs that it's quite impossible to educate yourself, because there are so many information out there, and you need a really good book to introduce yourself to a good ground, because some of the information in the internet can be conflicting. So I will put up a link to some of the books that I find very useful in the show notes if you are interested. The first one is Julia Lawless, by the Encyclopedia of Essential Oils by Julia Lawless. The second one is The Complete Book of Essential Oils and Aromatherapy by Valerie Ann Warwood. This book is a bit outdated in terms of the safety precautions, but regardless, it's a very good introduction to essential oils, and it's still being referenced and cited by books out there. I also have a book by Jennifer Peace Rind. It's titled Essential Oils, A Handbook for Aromatherapy Practice. second edition. This is good if you want to know the history and the practice of aromatherapy, and also one of the most essential book to have, and I don't have this one right now because it's quite expensive, is Robert Tisserand's Essential Oil Safety Second Revision. Robert Tisserand is considered by many as the foremost expert on essential oil safety, and he's also a consultant for the EO company Plant Therapy. So why do I read all these books, you would think? Because essential oils are just essential oils. You can just put them in an incense burner and it would scent your room nicely. Not exactly. So it's like learning chemistry all over again, because essential oils are concentrated substances, and therefore its quality is determined not only by the method of its extraction, but also by the degree of its pureness. A lot of the oils out there have been adulterated. Some EOs has been tempered to have a certain smell by adding chemical substance to it. Some other EOs have been diluted in carrier oils to reduce cost. And for example, rose essential oil, because rose is one of the most expensive oil to be found in the world. I think one tiny 5 milliliter bottle, which is 1 teaspoon, can cost upwards to $400, $400 US. Most people who want to use essential oils as an aromatic scent to use in a body mist or to scent a room, then it doesn't really matter for the quality. But if you want to use it in a health, in the medical sense, then you need to know more about it. And the usage and application is so much wider than just burning incense. So I will talk more about essential oils in my future episodes if you like, but since this podcast is still essentially a knitting podcast, I will not talk that much in this first episode, in this first segment. I will leave the segment with a little tidbit. Essential oils are not exactly oils in the traditional sense, but it is hydrophobic, meaning it repels water, and therefore we use carrier oils, which are essentially vegetable oils, to dilute essential oils, because carrier oils are also hydrophobic. So you cannot use water to dilute carrier oil, to dilute essential oil, because they don't mix. So essential oils are called oil because it's hydrophobic, just like vegetable oils, if I'm making myself clear. I will also put up some useful links to my favorite EO supplier, which is Plant Therapy, and also a local Indonesian EO supplier based in Bali, and a few of essential oils group that I follow on Facebook if you want to find out more about essential oils. So now we come to almost the end of the episode. Tadaima! So, in further going with the theme of the title of the episode, which is the essential month, in December, this is our first time doing a Christmas tree in our house. We've been married for 5 years in the coming 12th of December, and we just bought one during last year's post-Christmas sale. So in Indonesia, since we don't have fresh pines and it's impossible to buy a fresh Christmas tree every year, we always have a fake one in our houses. And we got a pretty good deal on last year's sale, and we also bought a bunch of accessories to go with it. I didn't know if I bought enough for the size of the tree, because it's pretty tall. I think it's 2.5 meter at least. And it definitely wasn't enough. I didn't have the Christmas lights up yet, but since I put it near the wall and we have the ornaments hanging on the other side of the tree, then the visible side is quite fully decorated with ornaments. So we are very happy, and I did it together with my 3.5, almost 4-year-old son, Timothy. and he loves it, and he hangs everything on the low branches. But when I told him to put the angel and the bird ornament up, he said, "Mama, I can't do it because they have to be up there because they can fly. So you have to do it." That's a very good logic on his part. I'm going to try sprinkling some essential oils on it to have the Christmassy scent. And yeah, it's a good, I don't know, it's a good reminder of the season to have the Christmas tree there. It makes my heart sing every time I see it there in our living room. Also, about talking about Timothy, we have been going to a music class. It's once a week, accompanied by a parent, which is me. The program is Music Wonderland by Yamaha, and it's a worldwide program taught by certified Yamaha instructors. So far, he's been really enjoying it. We are going to a Bahasa class. So the center that we go to, they have two options. They have the English version and they have the Bahasa version. Since it's Yamaha, the original language was in Japanese, but they translated all the songs to they have the English and Bahasa Indonesia version. So far, he's been really enjoying it, and I got a new experience in toddler-appropriate music lessons. It's not so much what I thought would be learning how to punch keyboard keys. It's more to train their ears to notice rhythm, tone, and beat, also to be sensitive to the mood of certain songs. And the class teaches simple movements to accompany the songs. And Timothy, to my big surprise, has been asking me to put on the Yamaha Music CD whenever we are in the car. And the music really stuck to him. I don't know if it's the class or the way the teacher teaches the class. The music stuck more to him than all the music and the songs that we used to sing at home or in Sunday school. So I might try to use that method, to apply that method to teach him other songs as well. And since this is going to be very close to the end of the year, I would like to ask you all to think about what the next year is going to be like, to envision yourself in 2015 and what your plans are, what is going to bring for you. For me, definitely 2015 is going to bring another baby, and it's going to be a big change for our family, the addition of a little one. But despite that, other than that, what else is going to be the theme of your year in 2015? Knitting-wise, life-wise, family-wise, show me a note in the podcast show notes or on the Ravelry forum. I would like to know what your theme will be. And I haven't been really sticking to my theme for 2014, which is masterful and mindful. In terms of being mindful of my purchases, I fell kind of hard on the yarn department and the last part of the year, because I really bought a lot of yarn, and I got some unexpected gifts. And that reminds me, I would like to publicly thank you, Lisa Turbogal on Ravelry, who has very thoughtfully sent me a birthday gift. And it arrived right before my birthday on 17th of November. And she's very thoughtful to include some gifts for Timothy and also for the baby. We haven't opened the gift for the baby yet, if you want to know, Lisa. But we really enjoyed the other gifts. And thank you all so much for the birthday wishes on the Ravelry Forum. And this podcast won't be here without your support. So I thank you. And I am really grateful to know all of you, each of you, who has crossed my path through this podcast and through this blog. And for that, I am thankful. So that's it for today. You can send any comments, feedback, and suggestions to me, Arlyn, at thelostgeek.com. Show notes can be found on the show blog at thelostgeek.com. You can also like the podcast on Facebook and join the Ravelry group on the Lost Geek podcast group. You can also follow me on Twitter as lost_geek and on Instagram, where I'm being very active, as thelostgeek. To subscribe to the podcast, you can subscribe on iTunes or enter the RSS feed to your favorite podcatcher by typing thelostgeek.libsyn.com/RSS. That's thelostgeek.libsyn.com/RSS. Thank you for listening. Until next time, don't get too lost. Bye. Morning light upon my pillowcase. Well, hello, here comes a day. Should I rise up from these sheets of lace? Let the sun upon my face. Far too long I slept in solitude, with these walls as cold as ice. If I awake, will it be worth it all to feel the sun upon my face? I'm coming home to where you are, to the arms that held me long. I'm coming home, I've run too long. Unlock the door, turn the key, I've been waiting to see you. To me, come back to me. Tell me everything is new again as I walk this dusty road. Run to greet me with the racing wind.
I'm coming home.